This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew, Mike Rickbrandt, and yours truly, Peter Scoop Stanton. Check us out, 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org. We are red hot and rolling this 29th of June, 2024. Special shout out to the men and women of the Utica, New York Police Department. They're going through a lot of stuff right now because of an officer-involved shooting of a juvenile with a toy gun. Stay safe, one and all, members of the Utica Police Department. Also, we want to say hello to our special listeners, Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, also known as the Cellar Savers. Also, we want to say hello to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, and all disgruntled members of the New York Republican Party, thanks for tuning in tonight. As always, first order of business, we read the names of members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, remember Deputy Sheriff Bradley Reckling of the Oakland County, Michigan Sheriff's Office, end of watch, June 22nd, 2024. His killer is in custody. And we remember Deputy Sheriff William Butler Jr. of the Hillside County, Michigan Sheriff's Office. End of watch, June 27th, 2024. His killer is shot and killed. Anyways, tonight we have a very special show with guest Shannon Stevens, who ran for the Republican primary for New York's 2nd District on Long Island. We've asked Mike to join us tonight, who knows something very particular about the details. He did run for Congress himself in New York's 2nd District. Mike, take it away.
Thanks, Pete. Shannon, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No, not at all. So when I ran in the New York primary for New York 2nd District, we had a lot of like lawfare type stuff going on. We got sued by the other campaigns, by the GOP, everybody, all that stuff happened. And Shannon was the attorney that actually kicked butt and kept us on the ballot. But this time around, something went a little bit different. They came out of the woodwork. They exposed themselves completely as the Uniparty this time. But I'm going to let Shannon tell the story because she's much, much, much smarter than me and much better at telling it. So, Shannon, can you just kind of give us the brief of what happened?
Sure. I don't know if I'm smarter than you. I just have been in the mud with it recently, so I have, you know, a new insight on it. So back when I was your attorney in 2022 for your run, the GOP seemed to have an interesting playbook where they threw a third candidate into each congressional district. It seemed their goal was to split the vote between two candidates of the We the People's choosing, so that their establishment candidate got back in. For whatever reason, their playbook has switched in 2024. So what we saw this time around was a lot of the districts had, you know, more than one person trying to primary the establishment GOP candidate. For myself, I was the only person, you know, looking to primary Andrew Garbarino. But it almost didn't matter how many people you had looking to run against the establishment incumbent GOP candidate in each district, because what their playbook looked like this time was to keep everyone away from the ballot by disqualifying us all through court. So the way they did this was, you know, they started at the Board of Elections proceedings. The Board of Elections has to hold hearings where petition of signatures is challenged. And I know Mike's very familiar with this situation because they do challenge your petition every year. Every time you run, they challenge your petition. And they'll have multitude of challenges for your petition. They'll go on and on about the fact that they don't believe you followed the rules, essentially, is what it is. And they come up with 4 million different ways that you might not have followed the election law rules. But they allege that you broke the law in collecting your signatures. At that point, they get to comb through your petition. So this is their playbook, their plan, every run. The interesting thing about that is, in order to challenge your petition and sort of comb through all of your signatures, they have to have people that object to your petition at the Board of Elections and say, hey, we don't think you followed the law here. Those are supposed to be concerned citizens. And, you know, I'm not in the room with you, so I'm going to put that in air quotes. And here's why. Most citizens do not understand the process of collecting signatures or how all of this works, let alone enough to know that they can challenge a petition of a candidate. So when we say concerned citizens are the ones objecting to these petitions, what we mean is people actually put up by the GOP to challenge your petition. And I know Mike is familiar with this too, because we saw a repeat offender this time around that was one of the objectors in 2022. And the interesting part about the objectors is they all work for the Board of Elections in the county where you're running. So both of my concerned citizens, objectors, however you want to call them, both of them work at the Suffolk County Board of Elections. So they get to challenge your petition. They comb through it. They come up with what they believe are egregious wrongs that you've committed, and they go before the Board of Elections for a hearing. But they use this nice word, fraud, when they challenge your petition. And they do this every time because the word fraud automatically kicks their proceeding out of a Board of Elections hearing and into a court jurisdiction, which places you in a courtroom with them. Then they get to sue you on a civil level. Once they sue you, you have to go and defend your petition, not only to the Board of Elections, but to a court of their choosing, wherever they filed their petition. Unfortunately, they're filing their petitions in front of judges that they've elected who used to be attorneys that worked for the GOP. So lo and behold, the attorneys that I was up against, or the law firm rather that I was up against, has been a GOP favorite in Suffolk County for a very long time. And the judge that presided over our hearing was formerly an attorney for that very same law firm that I was up against in the courtroom. So your setup sort of becomes walking into the lion's den, if you will. You walk in and you have Board of Elections attorneys and commissioners from Suffolk County as well as the state. You have court clerks. You have court lawyers, you have court officers, you have the judge, you have the opposing counsel, which is an entire firm, and then you have yourself. And they all know each other. They're all familiar with each other. They've worked with each other. You are the only outside individual there. So that's kind of the setup for how they go about disqualifying you, if you will.
Wow.
All right. So the judge gets stacked against you. That's basically what happens here. The uniparty decides what they want, who they want, and they're going to stack the deck as much as they possibly can against you. Now,
that's what they do. Yep. They're looking to make sure that you never make it to a ballot.
Right. And the Board of Elections, did they step outside their normal bounds this time around? Did they do something they normally don't do? Did they come out in like a way that they normally wouldn't?
The interesting, and I can't speak for everyone else, you know, I can say that what I do know is I ran in District 2. There were 4 other candidates running for a Republican primary in District 3. There were also 4 grassroots candidates running for Kristen Gillibrand's Senate seat. What I can say from my own case is the Board of Elections broke New York State election law with regard to my hearing specifically. So the interesting thing about the Board of Elections hearings is they are supposed to tell you that you have a hearing, give you proper written notice of your hearing, and they send you letters. You know, you get what you call service of process. If you're familiar with that, you get served with all of these papers officially through the mail. So, you know, when you run for office, you start to get very frequent visits from the FedEx truck because they bring papers upon papers. But the interesting thing was the letter that I got served letting me know that I had a Board of Elections hearing came 22 hours before my hearing. Now, the interesting part about that is the letter states that if I'm going to defend myself, I have to have written responses and I have to send them to the Board of Elections 24 hours prior to the hearing at least. So by sending me the letter and not serving it upon me until 22 hours before our hearing, they had put me already out of compliance with New York state law. I was actually in the recovery room when I received the letter. So I promptly checked myself out of the hospital and headed home to prepare for the hearing that they would refuse to move. So I showed up at noon virtually the next day for our hearing. I was with the New York State Board of Elections as well as the opposing counsel that was there to represent the GOP and Andrew Garbarino. And they didn't really go through much of anything in terms of substance. Essentially, they started the hearing off by basically telling me because I did not give them enough of a response that they weren't going to count any of those anyway. So I was already still left with signatures in their eyes in terms of having valid signatures. In other words, they kicked so many signatures out for reasons Garbarino's team gave that no matter what I did at that hearing, I couldn't have enough back that would make me a viable candidate again. And they had stated this out the gate before we ever looked at anything substantive. So it became one of those issues where I promptly ended the hearing because it became clear to me that I was going to sit there less than 24 hours out of surgery to go through signatures that they weren't going to give back anyway. So it was at that point that I had resolved to file a validating procedure, which is you can file your own lawsuit essentially from, you know, the candidate side to get yourself back on them.
Okay, folks, we're going to stop right there. When we come back, we'll have Shannon Stevens talk about how she was railroaded by the New York State GOP. Also, we got some other things going on. Old man got beat down by Donald Trump this week. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Danila's Instagram account. Here's more 75 Radio.
Hey, we are back. Welcome here to Mike Breakbrand and your host Scoop Stanton with our guest Shannon Stevens, who was railroaded, among other candidates, by the New York State GOP. Mike, take it away.
Thanks, Pete. So, Shannon, I know we were just going over how the BOE basically forced you less than 24 hours after surgery to show up for a hearing where they basically told you they weren't going to do anything for you anyway, and they railroaded everything through. My concern now is, what's the status of both your campaign now and the lawsuit now? I mean, I know you filed your own suit, you countersued the BOE and everybody else. So where are we at with that now? Where is that at now?
So once I filed the countersuit, I filed originally in Albany, and venue was proper in Albany. That's kind of a legal situation. In other words, we were able to hear the case in Albany because everything had to be brought to the New York State Board of Elections with regard to my run in particular, because our district crosses Suffolk and Nassau County lines. So it was proper to bring a case up in Albany, and I did that for a number of reasons. You know, the Board of Elections sits up there. That was who disqualified me originally. However, the GOP had an interesting way of clawing my lawsuit back to Suffolk County through a clause that they put in their own lawsuit originally, stating that any and all related proceedings had to be brought before the judge that they brought their case before. And the problem with this, I'm sure a lot of you have seen, you know, in Suffolk County and around New York, is the judges that we have out here are inextricably intertwined with the parties. You know, a lot of times we'll see a judge on the ballot and they're listed for every party down the line. You don't have a choice for certain judges. And, you know, that's become very clear that that's a rigged sort of system between the parties. When we have, you know, four or five different party lines officially stating one judge as the only option for a specific, you know, seat, it becomes very questionable what's really going on with our political system. You know, so we have judges tied to these parties. The cases are brought before these judges, you know, so it's unsurprising what happens with the outcome of these. So lo and behold, you know, days and days in court, a lot of trees killed on papers, and they eventually disqualified myself along with every other candidate that ran against a GOP establishment candidate. So where we are now is, technically speaking, June 25th was supposed to be your primary day in New York. Incidentally, you had no primary elections if you lived in New York. Out of 26 congressional districts, if you sat right of center, there were only five Republican primaries in the state of New York that day. Many people weren't even aware of this, to the point where they showed up to their ballot, to, you know, their ballot box to vote, and their location, their polling location, was closed because there were no primaries. Or if you were in an area where you had a Democrat primary going on, you walked in and you were told there is no Republican primary to be had. So essentially, they have now taken away your constitutional right to vote and choose your own representative. The candidates that have been disqualified, myself along with a few others from District 3 and the Senate race, have been in discussions on where we're going with this. So none of us are speaking past 2024 yet, as there is still a lot of opportunity here, both legally and otherwise, you know, to pursue the 2024 ballot. And we're not really giving up on this situation, because you can't. So, you know, right now we're in a lot of discussions sort of behind the scenes on the best route forward. But November is a long way off. So we're kind of telling everyone to sit tight and, you know, keep tuned to see what we come up with here.
That's great. Yeah, you have to keep fighting. You can't give up that fight. That's the most important thing people need to realize. You know, they have to stay in the fight. Just keep being persistent. Keep getting in the fight. Keep making people aware. Keep recruiting. Keep getting out and spreading word. That's critical. Absolutely critical. Thank you so much for detailing all that. I know it's a lot to kind of, you know, lay out so clearly, but you did such an excellent job at it. So thank you so much for that. And I have to try and hit you up just for a little bit of legal advice, non-political. Scoop has actually been invited to a party with some models this weekend, and Walt is concerned that he might try and wear his sequin G-string again.
Mike, that's on the 28th. We'll talk about that later, 28th of July. But we could talk about that later.
I just wanted to get Shannon's legal advice about how we can get an injunction against you from wearing your sequin, you know, G-string.
That's going to be a complicated one. Unfortunately, I can't get that case that has given me any experience to speak too much along those lines so far.
Well, I appreciate it anyway. Thanks so much, Shannon.
All right.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Shannon.
No, you know, I just wanted to make sure, you know, that I stated, you know, the biggest part of this is really sharing what's going on here on Long Island with our voters, with our constituents and our community members, because I really don't think a lot of people, you know, understand or fully know what's going on within their party and what's happening with their vote. You know, and it's not a problem that we, the people, are not necessarily paying attention. We do have some complacency. We've seen that across the country. But the huge issue that we have here is what you're not seeing behind the scenes. You know, we can't expect people to be experts on every facet of our political system. And we're quickly learning that, unfortunately, we have to be in order to protect our constitutional rights and, you know, the country that we have here. So it's very important, I think, that we just keep talking about it and really sharing the truth behind what went on here, in, you know, in our elections, and make sure that people understand that their constitutional right to exercise, you know, their right to vote was taken away from them here in New York. You know, normally you have the right to enter a ballot box to choose your candidate. You know, we would have that opportunity in a primary. We should have that opportunity in a primary as well as the general election, you know, but it's sort of an interesting, and I don't mean interesting in a good way, but it's an interesting thing to see, you know, what's happening here on a local level with our races like this versus even on a very large federal level. I think we kind of saw this, you know, with the Joe Biden debate and how we're seeing, you know, the choice to possibly remove Joe Biden as the main candidate from the Democratic Party. I think we're seeing the same things go on where, you know, really, if we're waking up to what's going on here as Americans, we can see that our right to vote, our right to choose who is representing us and our elected officials is very quickly being taken away from us. So this is looking more and more like a banana republic, and it's something to really start becoming alarmed about.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Walt, you want to...
Absolutely.
Sorry to step in the mic. Walt, you want to... You got any questions for our guest?
I don't know if it's a question, but it's certainly, you know, a comment. As far as the entire process that you just explained to us, Shannon, most people in the general public have no clue, myself included, have no clue on how to go about situations such as what you were talking about getting on a ballot and staying on a ballot, and then you're getting served because, you know, they say the petition that you put forth, you know, is a fraud or is fake, or, you know, the names are made up, or why doesn't the Board of Elections, when you want to run for a seat, why does the Board of Elections not have a pool of attorneys that can assist you, you know, not you particular, you know, assist me if I want to run for a seat, and explain to me and show me and tell me what is expected, because they could turn what they expect that you might have done to look tainted and then bring you to court and literally, you know, sue you for fraud, because our criminal system has attorneys at their, you know, they just pass around attorneys to, you know, the criminals that can't afford one, because that's in our Constitution. So why do they not have some type of advisory pool that can counsel you on how to go about it the correct way to avoid all this? I mean, you're an attorney. I think that would be feasible.
No, I agree. And I think the short answer to that is gatekeeping and control. And by that, I mean, if they were to actually explain the process to you, if they were to have attorneys on hand and available for you to understand the process, to run as a candidate, or to even, you know, as a regular citizen, want to understand the process that your candidates are going through and what they should be doing in order to achieve ballot access or run for office, that would mean that they would have to be doing their job of serving we the people. But to do that job means that the opportunity for we the people to run, to obtain, you know, access to a ballot, to possibly obtain one of these seats, means that they're losing control. You know, we're seeing this on a federal level as well as a state level, all the way down to our most local races. You know, it's all about control. If they have the control, they have the power, they make the rules, right? And they're constantly changing the rules daily on us. You know, if they actually created a process where it was an open access sort of situation, that would mean that they lose their power and their control. And I think that's mostly what this is about.
Wow. All right. We're coming to a halfway point already. Shannon, can you stick around for another two segments?
Absolutely.
Outstanding. All right, we'll be right back with Shannon Stevens. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it wherever you're hurting. Back, neck, joints, or muscles. In 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Democrats in California have agreed to delay a minimum wage increase.
The move is to help balance the budget. Healthcare workers were supposed to see a raise on July 1st. Now their pay will increase on October 15th if state revenues in the first 3 months of the fiscal year are 3% above expectations. If that doesn't happen, the increase would start in January. The delay is part of an agreement to close an estimated $46.8 billion budget deficit this year. Lawmakers will likely vote on the budget proposal next week. John Scott reporting.
Rescue teams have been trying to keep dozens of dolphins away from shallow waters around Cape Cod. Some 125 of the creatures earlier stranded themselves. Teams have found a group of 10 Atlantic white-sided dolphins swimming in a dangerously shallow area and managed to get them back to deeper water. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, the Supreme Court ruling that cities may enforce bans on the homeless sleeping outdoors. Here's Rita Foley.
This ruling comes as more and more people in the nation have no permanent place to live. The High Court's 6-3 decision reversed a ruling by a San Francisco-based appeals court that found outdoor sleeping bans amount to cruel and unusual punishment. Some leaders in western states had argued that outdoor camps were poking onto sidewalks and other public spaces. Homeless advocates, on the other hand, said allowing cities to punish people who need a place to sleep would criminalize homelessness and make the crisis worse. Reading from the bench in a dissent to the high court decision, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said sleep is a biological necessity, not a crime. I'm Rita Foley.
Dave, losses on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow was down 45 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
You're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, 7-5 Radio, with Walter Yerkew, Mike Reichbrandt, Scoop Staten, and our very special guest, Shannon Stevens. Walt, you got any more questions, comments, or concerns to our guest?
Just, I lost my train of thought. What a dumb thing to do in a conversation like this. Okay, my train of thought is that when someone in an official capacity tells you that you did wrong, okay, and now I'm speaking on all levels, from being pulled over, you know, by a police officer to what you were talking about, Shannon, with the Board of Elections, you know, telling you that we believe you did something wrong and we're going to bring you in and we'll hash it over in a court, okay? The people that have the powers that be, okay, they know 99% of the rest of us are laymen. In other words, you know, not knowing exactly what the official capacity is to do certain things. And, you know, Mike and Scoop can tell you that, let me put it to you this way. When I know what I'm doing, they don't like it. For instance, I got pulled over last year. The cop demanded to see my driver's license and insurance and all that. And I showed it to him and he went to grab it and I wouldn't give it to him. Now, there's no law anywhere, and it falls under the Fourth Amendment, that I have to give it to him. Okay. I knew that, and he did not like that one bit because I knew the law better than him. So when you go and try to grab a seat in an election, you need to know, and they expect this of you, you need to know the procedure. And how would one find out the procedure? Which would fall back to what I talked to, what we spoke about before the break, was there needs to be somebody in between to tell you what they expect. So you don't, by accident, commit a misdemeanor, you know, on fraud. So it's the system that we've elected, that hire, we know nothing about. And I'm speaking about 90% of the people in America. We know nothing about it. I don't know how to get on a seat. I would have to do some investigation. And you're an attorney and they still drag you into court. So it's like near impossible unless you are a bootlicker or, well, maybe that wasn't the correct term. Unless you have an in. Now the GOP party in on Long Island had not been strong until the late 70s when Al D'Amato ran for, you know, United States Senate of New York and he won. And, the Republican Party from that point on was quite strong. And I haven't been in Long Island, you know, in a while, so I don't know how strong it is or what kind of a foothold they have. But however, it's the same damn bureaucracy anywhere you go, and it's a shame.
Yes, and I agree with you. And there's, you know, to a few points to what you said. You know, to start off with, you know, like we said before, their whole intention, you know, is to keep you out, to make sure that you don't know. But part of the interesting thing about what you said is it's not even what we the people have, quote, allowed or elected or created. The gatekeeping mechanisms that are in place right now, particularly what we're talking about when we're talking about the way that they kept, you know, all of the candidates off the ballot right now, was they used certain aspects of election law. And the interesting thing about election law is there is something called the black letter law, which is the way the law is written. It's exactly what's in a law when you look it up, how it's written, what the words are on the page. And then there's something called case law and precedent. And case law and precedent are created from judges' decisions that become binding, depending on how high a court level you're talking about, or at least influential when you're talking about judges deferring to other judges' decisions and things like that. The interesting thing that we have going on here, you know, and again, this is something that most people wouldn't know. And I have figured this out from studying election law versus election case law when it comes to the black letter versus case law issue. both between, you know, representing Mike in 2022 and now representing myself in 2024. And I'm by no means, you know, an expert in election law. I've just read it forwards, backwards, and I have, you know, the advantage over most other people in the fact that I am an attorney to kind of understand, you know, some of the nuances and the legalese going on there. But the difference is when you read the black letter law as it's written by our state legislators, it says that there should be substantial compliance when you're collecting all of these signatures to get on the ballot. And the words they use are substantial compliance, and the purpose that it states is to avoid fraud. Meaning they understand that when you're collecting upwards of 1,000 or, you know, in the case of, you know, the Senate seat, even 15,000 signatures, you know, you're out there, your volunteers are out there. If you're looking to collect, you know, way more than the number of signatures you need, you have to have a lot of volunteers. You know, you're asking people to sign, give their address, know that there's a difference between town and township. And there's a lot of different, you know, ways that small errors can be made. Do I sign first? Do I print my name first? Which order do I write the date in? You know, what's my town versus my township? Oh my goodness, I moved an apartment. Let me cross this out, right? There's human error in signing these petitions. The black letter law seems to allow for that. What I found when I was in court was that the judge and the attorneys that I'm up against, you know, the attorneys that the GOP hires, are holding you to a different standard when you're in court. And, you know, just as you said, they don't like when you know what you're doing. They were not fans of the fact that I knew a bit about their game already. So it became a harder game, right? They upped their ante. So they started working off of what I realized halfway through our case was a strict compliance standard, essentially leaving zero room for human error. And what I mean by that is at one point in a very long day of going through signatures, I had one signature. We went line by line, by the way, in terms of whether or not the judge allowed a signature in or not on my petition. It got to a point where the judge took his glasses off at one point and was deciding whether an elderly woman wrote 99 or 94 for her street address. There was no legal determination that went into that, no expertise from being a judge, just what he thought the number looked like. And if he decided that it didn't look like what her address was on her voter registration, it got kicked out. Things that he decided looked too messy. If a volunteer retraced a date to make it darker to try and clarify it, that could have been altered in his mind, so that got kicked out. Someone who moved, you know, an apartment unit within the same apartment building and didn't update that on their voter registration, it was kicked out. Someone who got divorced and did not change their last name, it was kicked out. You know, things like that. So we're not using legal determinations here. We're not actually talking about fraud. We're talking about judges using a 0% error rate to keep you out. And that's not actually what the law says. So they're kind of creating their own corruption and corrupt precedent to judge your petition off. And the interesting thing about that is if you looked at any of their petitions, they'd be guilty of anything that they're accusing the other candidates of. The problem becomes you have a grassroots campaign. You have a finite amount of resources. You don't have the availability and the resources to defend your own petition of signatures and at the same time go after theirs. So I'm sure there's a lot in their petitions, you know, that could essentially have them kicked off the ballot by their own rules and their own standards. They're simply banking on the fact that they have, you know, a never-ending pool of resources that you don't have as a grassroots candidate. So it really is a system designed for we the people to fail. And I have found in talking to people that very active committee men who are very involved in their local GOP clubs had no idea that this is the way this goes. So if they don't know, we the people don't know as a whole group, you know, and we need to know because our elections are being stolen from us without us even realizing.
Wow.
Thank you.
Shannon, here's a question. Like all this tomfoolery going on with the New York GOP, why hasn't like the media picked up on this, especially Newsday, who actually hates anything right of Karl Marx? It seems like it's a total blackout of people just getting kicked off the ballot.
It is, you know, and it's not for lack of trying. Myself and a few of the other candidates, you know, we're trying to voice our opinions. We're putting things out there. But, you know, like anything else, you're dealing with what we've called the machine, right, on a federal level versus state level. We have a system in New York that they have created where they control every facet of the entire process, from the court to the Board of Elections, you know, to the GOP itself, to the Democratic Party, to the news, the local media. No one wants to take your story. No one wants to hear it. And as soon as you start talking politics, if you're Republican on Long Island, a lot of our news outlets are Democrat. They don't really want to run a Republican story. You know, and the GOP has a very broad range of control here, unfortunately. So they're able to squelch the story. It has not helped us locally that Donald Trump has been supporting a lot of these riots.
All right, Shannon, stay right there. We'll be right back with our final segment here on 75 Radio.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
All right, we are back. And while you wonderful people were listening to those awesome commercials, I, of course, was looking at the Instagram account of 75 Radio spokesmodel Daniela Rodriguez. Check her out at Daniela.fitnessmodel on Instagram. Anyways, real quick, before we go to our final story, Shannon, how can people reach out to you to fight the machine that is the New York State GOP?
So basically what I've been telling people, you know, is if this is pissing you off or angering you in any way, the fact that you're learning that you don't have, you know, a right to vote, a right to choose your elected officials, and then instead you're being given, you know, installed officials here in New York, then please reach out to us. My campaign website is still active and open, www.stephensforcongress, all spelled out, .com. It's Stephens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, for congress.com. And you can email us, call us, the campaign information's on there. It's all still active and open. Like I said, November's a long way away, and we're still looking at ways to fight this. So if this angers you, you want to know more about it, you want to get involved in helping or, you know, working for the ballot in 2024, so we're not sitting here for the next 2 years with this mess, just reach out to us.
Outstanding. Folks, go to the website, especially if you live in New York, and give her some help, because the New York GOP is just like the CCP. But anyways, if you go on the website, 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org, you see Caroline Leavitt, who was on this network talking to Sam Bushman in February. She told the truth on CNN, and she was kicked off. And also, President Trump beat a man, an old man with dementia, really, really bad on TV. Anyways, check that out. But finally, I want to talk about something very important that Mike brought up in a non-funny manner. Coming the 28th of July, that's July 28th, 75 Radios with the Ultimate Dons and Divas Entertainment Academy will be part of a Vegas to D.C. pool party in Washington, D.C. That's right. 75 Radio will go to a glitzy pool party in Washington, D.C. I will be with the VIP area. Come all. If you're in the DMV, Baltimore, Philadelphia area, it's only about 5 hours from the city of New York. Come one, come all. It should be a great time. And I can't thank Bree Crenshaw Zoo, who runs Ultimate Dons and Divas Entertainment Academy, for her hospitality and everything she's done for 75 Radio. But if you go to the website, 75radio.org, that's the number 75radio.org, you see the press release as well as a link for the tickets. Tickets are reasonable, and they will be serving adult beverages, which is very good. So I plan to be there Sunday, July 28th of this year. Hopefully later in July we'll have Bree on the show to talk about some more, who's going to be there, what's going on. But it's going to be a party. Mike, what say you, other than asking Shannon legal questions about my swimming attire? Do you have any questions, comments, or concerns?
I just wanted to make sure that we could protect the people in the vicinity that, you know, from having to see that image, you know, because that's just horrible. No, happy to be on tonight. I'm glad Shannon could come on. Thank you so much for explaining that. It's so important that people become more aware of how really corrupt the system is and how really, like, entrenched they are, how much work they've done behind the scenes to build this machine to kind of keep you at bay and keep their people in stealing. So it's truly, truly, truly the most important thing you can do right now is become educated about how these systems work and how to better kind of take them back, break down the corruption, and get things back to what it's supposed to be.
Outstanding. Well, what say you, either about the corruption that is the New York State GOP, or yours truly finally going to a Vegas-type pool party with Ultimate Dons and Divas Entertainment Academy?
Well, since I don't want to picture you in any kind of a Speedo or anything like that, I'm going to go to the earlier subject where Shannon said that we don't get to vote for the officials that we want elected. And on this show for over 6 years now, I've said it time and time again, not just about Mr. Trump, but about every other president in recent history, that we don't get to elect a vice president. You have somebody, man or woman now, of course, just choose somebody out of the drop of a hat because they may have done something well when they were in Congress 30 years ago. Or they thought it was done well 30 years ago. In my world, we have a presidential election in November. There should be people running for the vice presidency. Now, depending on which party wins the White House, those two or three people have a vice president election in December, and we vote for a vice president. That's just me.
I think that's a great idea. You know, we're seeing more and more of our constitutional right to vote be taken away with every seat that we're looking at. As a quick aside to your pool party issue, that might be a lovely alternate use for those solar eclipse glasses that we're giving out a few months ago. If anyone still has those around, I'm pretty sure they block a lot out. But overall, no, I agree. Our right to vote is being taken away. little by little, and honestly, a lot at this point. It's being completely denied us, and we're kind of sitting down and taking it as a country where, you know, Ronald Reagan had told us that we had a, like, if we can keep it. This is the if we can keep it stage. You know, he also said that we're never more than one generation away from losing our freedom if we don't fight for it. You know, I'm paraphrasing his, you know, his statement there. But his point was we have to fight for what we have here. We cannot be complacent. We cannot sit down. We cannot take what they do to us, because we have to remember that this was, you know, created as a great, wonderful experiment of the people, by the people, and for the people. And right now what we're seeing is a great many of us silenced for the few, and for the few to maintain their power and their hold on our entire country. It boggles my brain how we have, you know, millions of people here who disagree with things that go on in our government every day, and we sit down and we say, okay, you know, that's fine, we'll move on. We take things without question. You know, no one's asking questions about wildfires from a year ago, Lahaina. We're not asking questions about things that, you know, once upon a time we wouldn't dare to accept without questioning, investigating, and not letting go. You know, and I think our founding fathers would be very concerned at the way our country is going right now. So I would challenge everyone to start paying attention and start really looking into things and question everything, and take nothing at face value, because it's nothing is ever what it seems.
And you know, and your civil rights are have been trampled on time and time again by our elected officials and the people they hire, and it is almost beyond repair. And everybody remembers this during Obama's administration, and I hope I'm not the only one that jumped up and said what I'm about to say after what he said. He got some questions from a reporter that he felt that was harassing, and he didn't want that happening, and this is my house. I jumped up and I says, no, buttface, that's my house. You see, that's how strong these people are getting that are in charge. That's my White House, not yours. You're just a tenant, and you're not even paying rent. That's my house, and I hope I'm not the only one that jumped up and said that. And that just goes to show you that they will feed on ignorance. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Ignorance of the law and ignorance of your rights. And they're telling you what your rights are, and they can't tell you what your rights are, because they don't know. They know there's a Constitution. They just don't know how to apply it.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. That's a perfect example of what we saw on January 6th, right? We had people walking through our house with our flag peacefully, you know, and where are they right now? They're still in prison. But we have what we're calling officials, they're really installed officials, waving the flag of another country on our house floor. Last time I checked, that's treason. Now they're calling it support for Ukraine. So call it what you will, but this is, you know, it's the same exact circumstance that you're discussing here. They've gotten too big. You know, government has gotten way too big for what the founding fathers intended it to be. And I think some of the Supreme Court decisions we're seeing come out in the recent couple of days are a step in the right direction, but it's going to take all of us, because that's what it took to create this beautiful, wonderful experiment that we call the United States. And to keep it, you know, the way that our founding fathers envisioned is a lot of work. And we have to be willing to put that work in.
Okay, that is another show going to the Radio Hall of Fame for Walter Uricu, Mike Rakebrant, and Shannon Stevens. This is Peter Scoop Stan reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.